Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Barbara Masaccio, Executive Director of United Way of Waco and McLennan County. Hosting the program is Nan Holmes. This conversation was recorded April 13, 2017, in the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. Barbara, welcome to Waco.
Thank you, Nan. I'm so happy to be here. What a great community it is to join.
Well, thank you. And welcome to the Central Texas Leadership Series. You're new to Waco, but you're not new to the Lone Star State.
You
have spent some time in Dallas, I understand.
I did.
But we're excited and so welcoming to you to come here to Waco and to spend this time sharing some of your ideas about leadership with me. I want to, before we talk about your role as executive director at the United Way, tell me something about your early life, your education, and some pivotal events that shaped you for what you eventually.
Well, I am totally a child of the 60s. And in my sophomore year in high school, I got very involved in the Young Christian Students Organization, which was led by a missionary priest named Father James Healy. And Father Healy really, I think, was the beginning of shaping my perspective on the world and on life. He really taught us how to look beyond the small world that we lived in and to really dive deep and understand the issues that people across all sorts of channels in our world. So it was my first opportunity to take a global view of the world. And he engaged us very much in both the civil rights movement and also in the anti-war protests at that time during the Vietnam War. I think that in combination with being the child of immigrant parents who really had to come to this country and find a place for themselves somehow shaped and formed my desire to generate possibilities for people, build programs that really empower people to be successful, particularly women and children. I think the other pivotal event in my life, so if you look at kind of the sum total of my life, where I am today and where I started life, I was a single parent by the age of 20 years old. I don't have a lot of formal education. And so if you looked at that life on paper, you would think, well, this could never be the outcome. This person, you know, leading large nonprofit organizations and being considered an expert in some areas, never would have predicted that that would be the outcome. But I think that drove me to this work because along the way, I had incredible people and organizations who believed in me. I'm a very intelligent person, and they helped me lift up that natural and native intelligence and also made me believe in myself and give me a great spirit of tenacity to believe that I could accomplish almost anything. And so, you know, I look back on my life now, look at my children and see where they're at in life and just think that I'm probably the most fortunate woman in the world. And the opportunity to create that kind of opportunity for other people and children and women, again, in particular, is just so important to me.
Where were you in the 60s when you had this
I was living, I grew up on the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was an engineer for United States Steel back in the day when there was a United States Steel. And the part of Chicago that I grew up in was pretty narrow-minded, candidly. And so to be living in that environment, but with a father who was really focused on teaching my sister and I never that everybody was equal, never to see things like color or socioeconomic background as a definer of who and what that person is. And also Father Healy coming in and saying, you know, the perspective that you're living in today is very narrow. You know, it was really to become so socially conscious in that kind of neighborhood and in that environment was a huge challenge, but it was also just this like eye-opening epiphany of, oh my God, there is a larger world.
That's sort of like you made that, you changed the trajectory. Something happened at that point where you were uplifted by other people to make that change and to keep going in another direction.
And to learn that if you are willing to stand up and be candid and if you can identify what your true beliefs are, you know, no judgment in terms of where those beliefs land, but what's true to you, and then be willing to stand up for those beliefs and fight for those beliefs, that there were amazing things that could be accomplished. And a great example, and probably something that has definitely stayed with me my whole life, but will always stay with me. So we were a very I went to a Catholic high school on the southeast side of the city of Chicago. Very narrow-minded, but great education. I mean, I received an incredible education, but it was an all-white school. And because our consciousness was being raised, we were the driving force in the first integration of the high school. And so I think about that today. In my senior year, we brought in our first and only African-American student into this high school. And we thought we were just phenomenal. Yeah, this was great. And now in retrospect, when I look back on it, I think about the fact that how brave this young woman was to be willing to be the first African-American student in our high school. And I'm hoping, I don't know where she is today, but I'm hoping that our intention of doing that really did good for her, because it was a huge, huge change. And there were pickets in front of the school the day her first day of class. And she held her head high and became a part of our senior class. But I often wonder, did we do her a favor, or, you know, did we create even more stress for her? My hope is we did her a huge favor.
My guess would be a huge favor.
Yeah.
Because at some point, people who did those kind of things and still do them today are very courageous, but it's not always immediate that you see what an important thing when they've opened the door for others to come through.
I was talking to one of my daughters about it, and she said, well, you know, if you could go back in time, would you do it again? I said, I would do it again, because now, all these years later, I can see the world is a better place, and I'm a better person for having done that. I would absolutely repeat that action all over again.
Well, that's great. Was there... Father, is it Neely?
Healy.
He was definitely someone who played a key influence. Can you think of anyone else?
Mm-hmm. I can. So I often think really the best part of my professional life began with the Second Harvest National Food Bank Network, which is now Feeding America. And I was their director of external affairs. So I did a lot of the work associated with building relationships with the food companies across the country. And the gentleman who was the CEO at the time that I was hired, his name is Philip Worth and is still a friend today, really was probably the mentor who really helped me to understand what it takes to be a true and good CEO, just in terms of your people and your objectives and strategy. But he also added to that whole perspective of my inclination towards social services and social impact. He was very clear on the role of Second Harvest. He was very inspirational to me in terms of thinking outside of the box and really looking at other ways to fulfill our mission. And he really taught me that to achieve mission, you've got to have a good business sense, you've got to have a great strategy, and you have to have great people around you, and because you're never going to do this work on your own. Mm-hmm. And so as the chief executive, your role is to empower your people. And as a leader of a nonprofit organization, your role is to fulfill the mission by good business practices in running a very good organization.
Yes, that's true. You know, nonprofit doesn't mean not business.
Exactly.
Some people think nonprofit, oh, you don't have to worry about that aspect.
Yeah, we're all about the mission.
Yeah.
But I had a board member when I was leading the YWCA who's probably one of my favorite people in the world, and she would say, okay, people, no money, no mission. Let's go fundraise.
Yeah, that's been my experience, too, just thinking that, oh, well, everybody's going to know who we are and
it's
know
so
what
great.
We do.
Yes.
Do you have anyone who, when you're brand new to the United Way of Waco, were these people whispering in your ear when you came to work and just sat down in that desk and you're thinking, what do I do first, next? What were some of those people that you were drawing on?
I think one of the things that drew me to this opportunity and to Waco is the caliber of the people who were engaged in the search process, either as a member of the search committee or as other like partner organizations surrounding the process. I mean, it was everybody from our former mayor, Malcolm Duncan, mm-hmm. to our current mayor, Kyle Deaver, to the Waco Foundation, to the Rappaport Foundation, to the Cooper Foundation, the current board leadership at the time the interview process started. So Mark Reynolds from Extraco Bank and Peter Colgin and names that I know are very familiar to you. But they were so committed to identifying and hiring the right leader, because this United Way, which has been in the community for 89 years, they felt it was so important in the community matrix of service and support. And they put their heart and soul into this effort. And they have been, and not only did they take themselves and the candidates through the search process, they have remained committed. So they have said, we're going to hire the right person, and then we're going to surround he or she with the support they need to be successful. And they have honored that commitment 150%. I'm really fortunate to begin this work with people like that coming to me and saying, we're here for you, and helping me shape and form what will be the vision for the future of this United Way.
That is phenomenal. For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Barbara Moschaccio, the brand new executive director of the United Way of Waco, McLennan County. Well, Barbara, I read your very moving piece in the Waco Tribune Herald, where you mentioned about your just personal philosophy about ending poverty.
Yes.
And one thing that was moving to me, because this is something near and dear to my heart always, is that you were able to articulate that you don't mean literally ending it all by yourself. You know, you're
right.
Not going to end it, but that you felt it would take people working together. And can you, just for those who were unable to read the article, I know it's maybe hard to condense it, but talk about that vision that you mm-hmm. have woven into your arrival at the United Way.
And I think I'll initially and circle back to what we just talked about, Nan, which is really this. I fundamentally believe in the work that I've been doing for the past 20 years tells me this is true, that if there is community will and there's a unified and common vision to address the systemic issues, to identify and then address the systemic issues, that is really what it's going to take. You know, I hope that at some point in time in my lifetime, I'm doubtful that we would see the end of poverty. And I was very inspired by Jeffrey Sachs' mm-hmm. book, The End of Poverty. But it's what is the driving force in all of that, and what was really evident to me considering this opportunity in Waco, is that community will, that collective will to say these are our issues and we are going to organize ourselves around those solutions that are best going to impact. And hopefully, whether it's one child at a time or it's 10 children at a time, begin to just deconstruct the barriers these children might face in terms of breaking out of the cycle of poverty and moving them and then that next generation and that next generation behind them out of the cycle of poverty. When I was leading Chicago Youth Centers, I always felt if one child, we served about 2,000 children annually, but if one child graduated from high school and was enrolled in college, we had done a lot to move that child and then their family out of poverty. And I think what I see happening in Waco is that there is this incredible collective will to deconstruct the barriers that people face, whether it's based on geography or socioeconomics or race, and keep moving as many people as we can down that continuum out of that cycle of poverty. And I think I said this in the column, but I think it's really important. I think, you know, we could all get sort of caught up in this great vision that we are going to end poverty in our lifetime. And I'd like to think that we would, you know, that's kind of the long view. But day to day, it could take away from focusing on what are the real things that we can do in this community today in partnership with each other to move that one child up and out of poverty.
Oh, I think it's great. You know, Peter Drucker said a long, long time ago, and I've always looked for this quote, that if everyone counts in a community, the quality of life is high.
Yep.
But if any one group does not count, then the quality of life for that community is not high. And I always just kept thinking about that all along my own journey, that that is very important that we live in a community where the quality of life is high.
That's you articulated it so well, Nan, because that's really, it's the same spirit that I was trying to communicate and the same aspiration in that guest column. It's all about community, and it's all about quality of life, and that equality of access.
Yes.
Everybody has that same access to that quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And I just like your mission, which is a lot easier to remember than some others, but to increase the organized capacity of people to care for one another.
Yes.
It's short and sweet, but it sounds like a very powerful goal.
It is a very powerful goal, and it really, it probably is just everything that I've been saying can be summarized in that very short mission statement. And I think one of the opportunities in front of the United Way is to be part of that organized capacity and to increase that caring for one another. And again, I'll keep coming back to this because it was so powerful to me when I was considering this opportunity. That's so alive and well in the city of Waco. This is such a vibrant community in terms of the belief that if we organize ourselves, if we come together, if we're collective in our vision, there's so much we can do that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. And sometimes organizations have to reboot themselves. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what you're in the process of doing, trying to not take away, but to just make it so yep. much better.
Yes. And reboot is a great word for it.
Well, many times when you think of leadership roles, people will tell you what you should do. Mm-hmm. What do you think are some things that are not helpful when you're in a position of leadership?
That's a really good, that's maybe one of the most difficult questions I've ever been asked. So let me think about it. I think in terms of the things that are not helpful, maybe it's more when people bring an attitude forward of, well, that's not possible, or, oh, we tried that in the past and it didn't work. I'm very much a big picture person, but I also believe that if you have a clear picture of where you're trying to get to, you can get there. And so I'll always tell my team, Mary Beth has heard me say this already in her 4 short days with the United Way, always bring me the issue, but you better come in right behind that with the solution.
I like that.
And or together we need to generate the solution, because I really believe if you're strategic and smart and you have your priorities in focus, almost anything is possible. So I don't know if it's more my personal attitude toward the way I approach this work. I like to surround myself with people who believe in the art of possible and then join me in making those possibilities into a reality.
And tell us a few, just so that we have some perspective, tell me a few stops along the way that you've had before coming here.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about Feeding America
Chicago.
And the Second Harvest National Food Bank Network. I left there, moved to Dallas when I met my absolutely amazing and wonderful husband and became
nice.
A Dallasite. But I was a consultant, and then I was the director of research and public relations for the Society of Petroleum Engineers, because my bent has always been strategy, planning, but fueled by good, solid research, and then having clarity on your brand and then taking that outside externally and building awareness. And loved what I did. It was something that I got to build when I went to the Society of Petroleum Engineers. But I'm a heart and soul kind of person. And my heart and soul since those early days has always been in the work I'm doing today. So fortunately, in early 2001, I was asked to submit my name as a candidate to lead the YWCA of Metropolitan Dallas. 8 amazing years later, I knew there was no turning back. Nonprofit leadership was going to be my journey for as long as that journey was going to be. Moved over to head the Atlanta Women's Foundation and then Chicago Youth Centers, which is a very large, complex social service organization in the city of Chicago. So from that day in early 2001, have just never looked back. This is the work I love, and I love being able to touch and feel the impact of the work that I do every day. I've had, just an amazing journey.
That it really does sound that way, and it sounds like you have not made up your mind, but exactly in a hard line for how you'll move forward. You know you're going to be moving forward,
yeah.
But have there been any things that you've observed right away that you think, aside from poverty, that you want to tackle? Maybe it's too soon for that.
I think there are a couple of key things, and they will be at a higher level because I'll have been formally in my chair a month on Saturday, the 15th. But I found an old scrapbook in the United Way offices dating back to 1928. And when you open that scrapbook and you look at back when we were the community chest, but there's something very powerful because the same names, second and third generations of the same families are still involved with this United Way today. So that legacy piece of who and what we are, building on that and honoring that is really important. There have been people that have just in this community who have continuously supported this work for the last 89 years. So that's a huge piece of what I feel responsible for doing is honoring that long-term commitment and that legacy. I think a couple of things are not 100% clear yet, but the concept of them is clear in my mind. So many United Ways across the country have had to continue to redefine themselves. The old United Way model is not the model of today. Certainly this United Way has done amazing work, but you said something earlier about rebooting. That's where we're at. We have to re-energize the focus of our work. We're very clear that our role is to inspire philanthropy, to be able to articulate the impact of that philanthropy, to engage the community with us, not just by writing a check, but being involved in the work and really building the strength of the nonprofit sector. So those are kind of the high points of where I know we need to go. How we'll get there, I'm hoping you'll invite me back in 6 or 8 months, and I can tell you
sure.
about our vision and strategic plan for the future more specifically.
Well, tell me also, where are you physically located?
Our office right now is, we are in a building that was the former Red Cross building. We're sort of in temporary housing.
Oh.
And we are currently looking not to buy a building, but to lease an office right in kind of the heart of the activity of the city of Waco and the nonprofit sector. So we're probably 3 to 4 months away from being in new space that will not be temporary housing for
yes.
us.
I think that that's very important, that once you do get settled, you make an announcement, you get the word out. I'm really encouraged by the idea that you bring so much to the table in terms of leadership, and that yet you're very mindful of who has come before and what they have done. I think that's an important thing for young people to remember.
Yep.
And maybe you have some other advice for young people who have their hearts set to be in leadership positions.
I think a couple of things. I think the first thing, and someone taught me this a long time ago, go deep inside of yourself first and foremost, and think about the things that matter to you. What do you care about? What moves your heart? And then be willing to invest some time and some energy into that. I think I certainly see this with my 4 children. The younger generation, my children in particular, want to, much more so than just writing a check, want to touch and feel the impact of those dollars. They want to get out and volunteer, and they want to be able to see the people that they're helping. They want to mentor, things like that. And I think that that's a beautiful way to approach philanthropy. But I think that I would say, if it were my daughter or my son sitting across from me, I would say to them, go to your heart, find out what matters to you, organize your resources in your time. Don't try to spread yourself thin,
mm-hmm.
but organize your resources in your time and give the best that you can, 100% of whatever that support can be, to the issues that you care about the most.
Barbara, if you can bottle that up, I think you're going to be wildly successful.
Thank you, Nan.
And I'm personally very encouraged by this wonderful interview, and I think we could just go on and on, but I think you have really a wonderful toolkit. Your toolbox is loaded with so many assets that you're bringing here to Waco and McLennan County. And I, for one, hope you will come back in 6 months, because I know it's going to be an exciting conversation
Thanks.
That we have in 6 months. There's no doubt about it. And I think that the partnerships that will be coming, maybe neither one of us can envision right today, but there's going to be some new exciting things happening here in Waco.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I feel the exact same way, and I'm honored by this opportunity, and personally very honored to meet you, and I know we're going to be knowing each other well over the next couple of years.
Thank you. Thank you so much to everyone out there listening. It's been such a pleasure to have this conversation.
This program was recorded April 13, 2017, in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series can be found on our website at kwbu.org.